Among the military services, the Air Force is generally regarded among experts as having the most well-developed program for cyber education and career development for military personnel. But Major General Earl Matthews, whose job it is to develop the Air Force's cyber workforce, is the first to admit that his service hasn't done a good job on that score with its civilians. While he says that population of civil servants does vital work, their job titles and their compensation don't necessarily reflect what they do. He says that's partially because of the way the federal government's general schedule system works.
These occupational series codes are the same ones that were in existence when the general service was created, 50 or 60 years ago. So it's time for an overhaul of the entire system.
Matthews, who serves as the director for cyberspace operations on the Pentagon Air Staff, says while the Air Force nominally does have a cyber career field for civilians, their occupational series codes don't reflect that and don't describe the skills those civilians have or need. To assemble its cyber workforce several years ago, Matthews says the Air Force simply assembled occupational codes from a previous era and dubbed those employees cyber workers.
And we moved them all into this bucket. And so you're all now cyber people. Okay, when you look at our civilians, there are 42 occupational series codes that make up the communications and information career field. Everything from general administration to librarians to data clerks, probably not where we're headed for the future. So as part of this effort, we're trying to figure out what are those right occupational series codes by skill sets.
Matthews also says the federal civil services system for compensating people isn't terribly well suited for the dynamic field of cyber. For example, he says the Air Force wants to build a cadre of elite cyber warriors within its civilian ranks.
Even though there are a lot of people who work in the cyberspace domain, you always have a smaller subset of people who are really highly specialized. Right? And the analogy that I like to use is our special operations community. So we have a lot of special operations forces, but we also have the specialty organization, right? The Joint Special Operations Command, JSOC, where you have SEAL Team 6, you have Delta Forces. Well, we're going to have that same type of technical expertise in cyber. So how do you manage those people?
So, Matthews says, the Air Force is at the very beginning of an effort to find legal ways to pay certain high-demand individuals outside of the typical strictures of the general schedule.
So for our civilians today, if you're a GS-15, which would be equivalent to a colonel, and you have a GS-14, which is equivalent to, a lieutenant colonel, some of our civilian agencies, a GS-15 could work for that GS-14 because it's about their technical experience and the pay that goes along with that, not about what grade they are. That doesn't happen in the Air Force and any of the other services like that, because a GS-15 by code has to supervise X amount of people in order to get that rank and kind of stuff. We have to break that paradigm. And so if you're one of these civilians and you're working in a specialized job, then maybe you ought to get more pay for that job that you're in there, regardless of what your grade is. And if you move to another job that doesn't require those skill sets anymore, then maybe your pay goes back down. Okay, because you're off now doing a different type of job. But we're trying to turn over this whole dynamic, and we cannot continue to operate with our civilians in the same manner that we have been for the last number of years.
As it works to overhaul the occupational codes and skill set definitions it employs for its civilians, Matthew says the Air Force won't go it alone. He says the entire Defense Department needs to have a common set of standards for cyber training, as does the whole federal government. So the service plans to lean heavily on government-wide cyber workforce programs, like the National Initiative for Cyberspace Education.
So we're working as a whole of government to define these roles, training and certification expertise, so that when people move from one part of the government to another part of the government, we can talk the same language. There's another document that we use, and that was produced by U.S. Cyber Command. And that is called the 42 Cyberspace IT Work Roles. So we take these two documents and we blend it and we boil them down. And we say, okay, this is the type of training, and we're working collectively again to try to make this all come together in one spot. It's not easy, but again, I'd just like to foot stomp that there is a very good synergy in whole of government to work this together and not work it separately.
Separately, as the entire military works to beef up its cadre of cyber warriors, Matthews says the Air Force has just launched a reassessment of the way it organizes its uniformed workforce. He says they hope to answer questions like whether the Air Force will need to create new squadrons dedicated to the cyber profession, or whether those experts should fill existing squadrons, how much of that workforce should be directed toward the active component of the Air Force, and how much should go to the reserves.
We are in a six-month look right now across the entire United States Air Force on do we have the right balance and mix between active duty, guard, and reserve. In my particular area on cyberspace, this has a lot of potential. When we create reserve associate units that can be married up with active duty units so they can bring the experience from their companies that they're working on in this mission space and put them in those kind of centers and marry them up. This is a perfect alignment to me that like pilots, right? So if you're flying an airline, then you'd be associated with a flying squadron. So we're working really hard at that. So the Air Force is, based on, our war effort now for the last 10 years, do we have the right mix? And so we're going to see some of this balance get sorted out over the next few months.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.